The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
This is Juba, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Telling you, we're living in some crazy, crazy times right now. Fucking world of uncertainty has gone to another level. You thought our country was just bad. Then you start looking across the globe and they was like, hold my beer. You got some shit over here. I'm telling you. It just boggles the mind on how others in this world just take initiative and not even give any kind of sympathy or compassion to others. It's crazy, man. This shit is fucking insane. And I'm just looking at news stories and reading up on articles and even people of minorities and those sovereign countries who are being treated differently by the people of that country. It's just like, you don't know who to really give a fuck for, man. And mind you, I'm over here still getting over this fucking chest cold shit. I mean, I'm much better now, but you still get those random coughs and shit. That and age has seemed to be creeping up on me slowly but surely. When you just get a random back spasm out of the fucking blue. And this is done by just sitting down. How? It's a weird occurrence here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it's just another day of growing older. I'll be 46 this year and I still carry myself as though like if I'm in my 30s. My mind tells me that if I'm in my early 30s, I tell myself that mentally that I am, but my body instantly wants to remind you, like, no, you're not. You know that random back pain you get? You know that random crick in your neck? You know those nights that you used to drink all through the sun comes up and then you can fall asleep and wake up and do it again? Yeah, you're not doing that shit no more. Make sure you take those two fucking baby aspirins. Yeah, time is a motherfucker. It'll remind you of some shit. And believe me, your kid will remind you of it too. Your child will remind you that you are old as fuck. Do yourself a favor. If you're not into having kids, don't do it. Not to say that mine isn't a blessing. I wanted to have a child. I was fine with it. But if you're not into having kids and it's just one of those things that you can say, I can do without them. More power to you. More power to you. I was recently brought back to where my old stomping grounds were before I started working at this luxurious career that I have now. I found my way back to where I began working with people, working with the community and such. I made a stop over. Good old Uncle Fred has a side gig where he referees basketball games. So game that he was refereeing was at a place where we used to work at. And it just brought up a lot of old feelings and connections from my past. So a lot of the kids who are now adults and they're prospering and they're doing well, it made me feel good. It made me think about those who I worked with and did, you know, did my my leadership trainings with, my group leader trainings with and such. And it always feels good to see them remember what you have done for them and with them during their early years and using it now as adults. And they still acknowledge you for that. It's always a good feeling. You don't usually do it for the recognition. You just do it because that's the job and that's in your heart. But you know, it's good to be reminded that you made an impact in someone's life. It's a good thing. Because my body's telling me honestly that you ain't doing shit. I feel like I've taken fucking bumps off the elimination chamber. I'm telling you, I need a nice Asian woman to walk all over my body. Put the hot stones, grab on the pole, and just walk up and down my back. Just get it going. And mind you, I've never been one to have back problems. It's just muscles. Just like little pinched nerves here. Doctor says I need a bacchiotomy. Hope I don't have sciatica. Shit just reminds you just a little bit like, yeah. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'm your host, Mr. Ear to the Mat, the King of Talk Style, and as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Santee. Sitting here in one of the rooms at my job, quietly, in the dark, speaking to you, because I know I got to get the episode out. And I found that using this phone helps me to get the show going on. I don't have to basically sit in front of my microphone for 2.5-3 hours punching it up when I can knock out at least 20 minutes here with you guys on my phone. Be sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on the like and group page on Facebook. I know I haven't been on Facebook Live for some time. I was telling you guys that I needed a new program to stream on. I found one. If it works perfectly, I actually got my nephew on it so he can use it for his game sharing. So now he's on Twitch being able to live stream his games. So I was about to use it as well to go on Facebook, on Twitch, on whatever the case may be. But seems as though, like on Facebook, for instance, where we've garnered a large audience to talk wrestling, it seems as though that I've been banned. I don't know why. I don't know where the fuck it came from. I kind of do. And if it is from something that I shared, it's stupid because the notification I got was that it was sexual content. And if there's one thing that I do know is not to share sexual content. So if it's from this video that I put up, it is nowhere near sexual content. So one of you motherfuckers flagged me, but it's all right. I should be back by next week, or I'm going to try to see if I could stream something out of my other Facebook page. So maybe I could have it run out that way and I don't have any issues, but I'll check it out. Be sure you check us out on also the social media outlets such as Turnbuckle Tab on Instagram, Turnbuckle Tab on Twitter, and always check out the YouTube and the TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Be sure you download, share, subscribe, be a part of the wrestling landscape and our ridiculousness of opinionated thoughts on all the podcasting platforms, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you can find podcasts. I'm telling you, we are available. We are there. Make sure you check us out on all those platforms. But if not, you could always go to RageWorksNetwork.com, where the family is there for all things connected to the RageWorks podcasting outlets for you. Black is the New Black, Trek Untold, Toys and Tech, and much, much more. New shows coming down to the RageWorks family, and make sure you check them out. Open your arms, embrace them at RageWorksNetwork.com. And always check out RageWorks.net for all things connected to the universe that we are connected to, which we are binded to. Video games, movies, TV shows, toys, comic books. It's all connected with reviews, previews, contest. It's our livelihood. It's the way we enjoy ourselves, our hobbies, our connection to our geekdom. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. And that's at RageWorks.net. So much to talk about this week. As you know, if you've heard the last episode, I already discussed the whole Cesaro parting ways with WWE. I wasn't happy, but hopefully we can see him land somewhere or probably return to WWE in a more captivating and engrossing role. Man is very talented, and I know that he connected with the audience well, but just certain individuals just didn't see it. Well, we spoke about that last episode, but there's much more in Wrestling Rundown, as much as well as Around the Square Circle. There's a lot coming down the way. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We got much more coming to you. So, don't go away. Stick around. We'll return. Check you guys in a sec.
If you don't know Turnbuckle Tabloid by now, Turnbuckle Tabloid is the wrestling podcast that brings you the raw, uncut, and realness, and we're loud, boisterous, and to your face when it comes to our opinions, facts, and belief of what's going on in the world of wrestling. But not only are the podcasts that give you the real and boisterous sounds of wrestling podcasts, we also find a way to be a podcast that can bring you down, be a soothing sound to. But the family here at Turnbuckle Tabloid knows how to put out audio that can compile together, in which we can bring you the loud, boisterous sounds of wrestling, but also bring you down to a sleepy, sleepy, and calming moment in your time period to help you appreciate not only the relaxing and soothing sounds of Turnbuckle Tabloid, but also appreciate the news and current events of wrestling. For example, I'm so tired of Kenny Omega and his nonsense. The Young Bucks is probably the worst tag team in wrestling right now. And please, don't get me started about what's happening on Raw. It is atrocious of what's happening there. Raw sucks. ASMR and Turnbuckle Tabloid goes hand in hand. There is such a cohesive world when it comes to the soothing sounds of an individual talking to you, but also the aggressiveness and dexterity of wrestling by individuals who are frustrated by the landscape, but yet can also find a cool and soothing sound that doesn't resonate and give anyone on the spectrum a high blood pressure.
And for those who are fans of Turnbuckle Tabloid, make sure you check us out on all social media outlets, as well as on all the podcasting and everything related to Turnbuckle Tabloid. But for you to check in on Turnbuckle Tabloid, and it's
ASMR conversations. Make sure you check us out on the same podcasting level, same podcasting form, in all areas in which are soothing, calming, relaxing, and without aggression. Microphones
status. Thank you guys for checking in. Take a bump.
This segment was brought to you by
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Yeah, what's going on? It's your boy Mike Harvey, and we're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santi.
Live from New York, it's
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
I'm sitting here watching on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all the stuff that's going down in the Ukraine. I got to be honest with you, man. People can say what they want, but you never know what love a country is until you get into that situation, man. You know, there's a lot of motherfuckers here in this country that talk about, well, you know, I bleed red, white, and blue. This here is America, and we'll fight tooth and nail. You fight your own people. But wait till somebody come onto your fucking land and try to take your shit. Them dudes over there in Ukraine, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of these motherfuckers over there was playing Warzone, that Call of Duty shit, hard body. And they're like, yo, I could do this shit for real. And they showing it. They showing they could do that shit for real. You know, this isn't just the soldiers out there. This is townsmen, civilians. They all out there fighting, backing up Russian soldiers and shit. Yo, shit real, son. Tell you, I'm looking at that footage and I'm like, yo, how many motherfuckers out there really want? Y'all talking about, yo, this is my block. How many of y'all ready to throw it down in front of a fucking tank with fucking cruise missiles and shit like that? Yeah, I'm telling you, shit get real out there, fam. Ah, man. As always, Norm McDonald of this segment, and this is a Weekend Updates Wrestling Rundown. So kicking it off this week, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys have not heard the last inductee announced for Ring of Honor and their Hall of Fame, has been announced, and it is none other than, of course, CM Punk. And why not? He joins the class of Bryan Danielson, Samoa Joe, the Briscoes. And this is going to be a really good Hall of Fame ceremony. Also very... it's going to be very versatile when it comes to the speeches. You got a prolific Bryan Danielson, opinionated CM Punk. You get a cool and swaggy Samoa Joe, and then you get the Briscoes. Who knows where the fuck that's going to go? That's going to be all over the place. I'm really interested in seeing that, and I'm looking forward to watching that. So congratulations to the inductees. And let's see how that goes down the lane.
It's good to be the champion.
My fucking back is still killing me. I don't know why I have the microphone arm which leans up and down, but yet I'm still choosing to lean over the mic as though I'm like Yoda and shit. Ugh, fucking painful. I'm still in pain. There we go. So, the XFL and the NFL have come to an agreement with a partnership. Reason why I bring this up on a wrestling podcast is because, if you guys don't know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his ex-wife are the owners of the XFL. So, with that being said, there's some wrestling ties to it. Of course, we saw Rock do his thing in the beginning to kick off the Super Bowl. So this is not the first time the XFL and NFL have drawn at a partnership. Everybody's up and celebratory because they believe that is something grand, but this is not the first time they've done it. All it is just basically sharing ideas, pitching ideas on how the game should run and technologies just used, as well as the health maintenance and the longevity of the player. So it's not nothing new. This has been done before, and hopefully that this is a partnership that builds and grows, and the XFL actually does something progressive. I'm hoping.
Do you understand me, Heffa?
Drake Maverick is back again. It seems as though the little fucker can't get away. He's back with WWE in a creative role. As you guys know, he was released not too long ago in those big sweeps. And it seems as though that he's making his way back. I can't believe this shit. Every fucking sound that's happening in New York that you would ever happen is happening to me now. I just had the train. I just had the sirens from a police car. And now I'm getting the ice cream truck. Ain't this about a bitch? It's 44 fucking degrees. And you're out there with a fucking ice cream truck. Really? Any inkling that it's not freezing, you'll have to go out there and get that money. Jesus. Ugh. So AJ Styles has re-signed with WWE. And why not? Why not? Hey, listen, he's 44 years old, 3 million plus a year. He's fine with the schedule. You know what I mean? I mean, what more can he do? I mean, it's best fit for him. You know, top tier wrestler, top tier company. He doesn't really have to do much. He's probably going to get that lackadaisical schedule. And he'll be able to go out there, rip and run, and get into matches with whoever he wants to. You know, there was talks of him possibly retiring after his the end of his contract. And they were able to seal him up for what they had. So, hey, more power to the guy. But yeah, we could come to an agreement with Cesaro. Fuck!
Your face looks like my nuts, except you got a hairier bush.
Booker T makes a comment. He comments about someone recognizing the fact that Brock Lesnar, well, took out all the black champions. If you go down the line, he speaks about Brock defeated The Rock, Kofi Kingston, Bobby Lashley, and Big E. It sounds like it's some sort of conspiracy against the black man. I'm going to say that it's done by happenstance. And when it comes to Brock coming in, taking titles, it just so happens that the black man has a title. I don't want to be a revolutionist or a conspiracy theorist believing that Brock is the Afro-American champ killer, but I mean, there might be something to that. I don't know.
You ain't even half a dog. You just a little piece of shih tzu.
So, one half of FTR, Dax Hardwood, was discussing his time in WWE, and when he met with one of his idols, which was Shawn Michaels, during a time there, he and Shawn had a discussion about their time, FTR's time, at the WWE, NXT and WWE. And, you know, Dax explains to him that they were having a hard time because the injuries that were occurring, and they just, every time that they feel they were on the upswing, that something would happen. And Shawn was feeling his, you know, was being compassionate, feeling his pain and such. But then apparently, and like I said, this is all hearsay. Who knows if this occurred, because, you know, all things is, you know, two-sided. But apparently, Sean, after, I guess, quote unquote, being compassionate, went to goof on the guys in front of Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hogan, and all of them during the big, what was it, the 1500 show? Or I forgot what show. That Raw, that shitty Raw show that FTR got taken out during the Manhattan Center. That bullshit. And, you know, Dax was hurt by it. He couldn't believe that the guy that he looked up to and was actually opening his heart to would actually start fucking with him. But he did say at the end of the night, the only person that came up to he and his partner was Sean Waltman, was X-Pac, who was gracious and thankful for what they did. Sean always gets the love they did that by all the wrestlers. And Dax has mentioned that he's hoping one day that he and Sean could meet up again to discuss this and he'll let his feelings know about what happened. But I gotta tell you, for him to say that he'll want to discuss this is actually big of him, because them two FTR motherfuckers, they'll fight. they don't give a shit. They'll throw hands. So very, very, very asshole move by Sean, if this is true, but a very classy move by Dax for being the bigger man for that.
Good Lord, 91. That's awesome.
Cash will throw hands. Yeah, y'all saw what he did at Homeboy at Hall of Fame shit, who attacked fucking Bret Hart. He'll throw hands. So if you guys haven't noticed, but if you guys haven't heard, the producer for WWE's 2K22 soundtrack has been announced, and it's MGK. Yeah, I said it. MGK. Okay. Listen, the only song on the track list that I really give a fuck about, which I'll be using it for my creator wrestler, theme-wise, is Protect Your Neck by Wu-Tang. That's all I give a shit about. Also, just for the bonus, MGK will be also a playable character in the game. Why?
You know what? You know what? You just made the list.
Seems as though Austin Aries has signed with the new promotion, CYN. Create your narrative, control your narrative, whatever. I remember there was a time that I was a big fan of Austin Aries. Then you find out how much of a real asshole he is. And that kind of like, talented dude wrestling-wise, man. But he just has his own agenda going on. But apparently this is the way the company is built. Their whole protocol is they want to bring in the outcasts and those who have been slighted or been done off or done away by certain promotions and such. So this is a company that's going to be there for the refuge, I guess. Also, I read on Reddit, not sure that this is quite true, but there's a person who's claiming to be an insider who says that the company is actually being put together by right-wing supporters and sponsors. Interesting.
Stupid.
Brian Cage is said to have signed a 1-year extension to his contract with AEW. Brian Cage is another individual who's supposed to be tied to the CYN promotion. We thought he was on the outs. I thought he was on the outs. Although Brian Cage has been known to do his own thing, he wrestles at whatever promotion he wants to. He's known to be tied to like VXS and other wrestling promotions out in the West Coast. Seems as though that AEW is not ready to let him go. And hey, get that check, kiddo. I think they signed him knowing at the fact that this might be the right time in which WWE might bite and bring him in. He fits the fucking prototype of WWE. I'm surprised that Vince hasn't thrown him a boatload of money yet. So kind of interesting that he was able to re-sign with AEW, seeing as though that their relationship has been kind of rocky in the past few months and so. So interesting.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Sonny arrested again, ladies and gentlemen. This woman just loves jail. This past week, Sonny was once again arrested and under the same sort of usual circumstance, driving while intoxicated, driving while under the influence, not adhering to traffic, traffic violations, yada, 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 yada. So as of this recording, she is still being held in county, and we'll update you on anything further for Sonny. Poor Sonny. Hopefully she makes bail with all the, you know, OnlyFans participants that she does. She anybody watches OnlyFans? No. Oh.
I am the best in the world at what I do.
Ref Stephen Smith, he signs with the AEW. Stephen Smith was formerly of WWE. He was released as well when it came to those big sweeps this past year. And the young man has found his way to AEW. Congratulations to him. And please, yes, they need more people over there. Aubrey has just become full of herself. I'm one of those that I'm a fan of knowing the referee and who they are. And you know, I'm a fan of knowing that they are part of a match and such. But I'm also a fan of them being just invisible and doing what they do. When I'm seeing that Aubrey's starting to be a little bit more full of herself these days. Aubrey's really painting herself up with the makeup and shit, like almost drag queenish. Sometimes it could be disturbing too. Like it would almost be like seeing Earl Hebner come in with a fucking with a huge mohawk or a headdress. It'll just be distracting, or a helmet, like a football helmet. It'll just be distracting. Like, why the fuck are you? I don't know. But congratulations to referee Smith for his contract signing with AEW. So this isn't a news story or a commentary. It's just basically a commentary. It's a hot take. It's an editorial, as they say. This past week, since you guys know, if you're listening to the show, I've refused to watch NXT. I'm done with watching that show until something makes a turn and becomes captivating. Something I know people are like, well, you should watch it for the Dolph Ziggler program with Bron Breakker, seeing as though you're a Ziggler fan and all that. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not watching that shit because it's already 4 or 5 years too late. When we've been crying for the longest main roster guys to go down to NXT more often. Let's show some show some love down there. We had back in the days where Cesaro, Finn would go down there on a quick spurt, but then it was probably like once, maybe twice a year, if that. It was few and far between. So now Dolph is down there, and I don't find anything attractive there to watch. But speaking of attractive, good segue for me. There's a female wrestler there that's been turning heads, and I'm telling you, this is probably the first time in a long time that I've seen WWE media push the hell out of a female like this. That is not a celebrity like a Ronda Rousey. Not. The woman in question is Nikita Lyons. Apparently she has a martial arts background and is one of the new faces for the brand. She was a recent signing to the Performance Center and was shot to the moon, basically. This past week she was in a match and made quick work of her opponent. And not only was the look of said wrestler the talk of the town, but also her finish. So I went back and I gave a look to the match itself. And I honestly have to tell you that NXT WWE has found themselves their Jade Cargill. Yeah, I know that people are going to fucking disagree, but yeah, they found a Jade Cargill. She's still green as shit. It's their response to Jade. The girl is, you know, pretty. She's pretty. I was being a little judgmental on her face a little bit, but she's pretty, you know. She's thick, got a thick, athletic, chunky, not chunky, but thick physique, strong. What about voluptuous is the word we're looking. She got a fat ass. Let's just say it. And like I said, she has work to do, but they're going to strap the rocket on her back. She's definitely going to be in consideration for future pushes because of her look and the possible appeal. Social media went ape shit. WWE went ape shit. The fans went ape shit. They lost it. There was not a place I didn't go where I didn't see her pin. And so I ended up following her on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Don't judge me. But still, it's WWE's response to Jade Cargill. This is what basically it is. We'll see how the two line up as per how they are progressing, because, you know, the PC is supposed to be all end all when it comes to training wrestlers, WWE's Performance Center. And right now, Jade Cargill is being trained by Monster Factory. This past week, I just watched, well, you know what? I'll save it for Around the Square Circle. But other than that, that's my thought of it. She's just WWE's Jade Cargill for now. This past week, we heard Jeff Hardy on a certain podcast discuss his thoughts about his release, what's going down, how things transgressed, and his, commentary on his possible return to the company and such. Quoted here, Jeff was noted to say, "Hopefully, yeah, I would love to go back. They released me and tried to make me go to rehab, and I'm so over it. My dream match was with Roman. I've talked about that many times, but then I said, so you want me to go away for like 28 days just to save my job? No. You know what's important to me? Family. My two daughters. My wife. They believe in me. Fuck WWE, man. It's like a private personal thing. I'm not going to fucking go to rehab. If they believe in me, that's all that matters. My wife and my kids." Okay, Jeff. Once again, I have to explain to people time and time again, because I don't think anybody's really getting the angle in which WWE was what they were doing here. Granted, could this have been handled differently? Yes. Could there have been a way to possibly just pull them off for a little bit, just so that we could, you know, work out the kinks to see what's going on? Yes. Did they have to let him go? No. But you also got to look on the aspect in which WWE was looking at, which is, you are a junkie. You have problems. You've had problems, regardless of whatever sobriety methods you've gone through, whatever sobriety time you've had, you're still looked at as an addict. Talk to your any counselor, talk to any addiction specialist. You are always going to look and be labeled as an addict, even 20 years sober, because that's the history you've given. You act as though that you were on the right path for 15, 16, 17 years. You have a history of relapsing. The company is covering their ass. Okay, your test came back negative. I don't know why it took so long for you to take those tests to come back negative. I find something very peculiar, because when reports first came out, it was stated that he refused to take the test. Now, all of a sudden, they said that they took the test. When did they take the test? I mean, listen, I'm not Vince. I'm not a fucking executive. You don't work for me. I don't give a fuck. You know, it's what it is with you. But if you want to discuss why a company did what they did, it's because they're covering their fucking ass, just in case you might have been liable to hurting yourself, hurting someone else, hurting someone in the crowd, because that's what the fuck you did. You walked through the crowd. And then, rather than take this serious, because whenever you go through some shit everybody around you is affected and is taken and has to take this serious. You got your fucking your jerk off brother and the dickheads from AEW, the Young Bucks, making jokes on it and their stupid ass fucking YouTube show. Even your brother was chasing his own fucking demons. He's lucky that he was able to find his means and kick out of the bullshit that he was doing. His wife was fucking ready to slap the shit out of him and kick him out the fucking door because of that shit. But then for you to turn around and say, fuck WWE, these are the same people who coddled you for years. Yet, they're also the same people who fucking exploited you for years. Yeah, but you allowed it. You allowed the exploitation. You can go to Vince and be like, don't use me for any drunk driving angles. Don't use me for any, you know, relapse storylines. You allow it. You let someone convince you to say, well, you know, pal, this is something that could help anybody out there who's suffering from addiction like you. And you got, oh, okay, Vince, duh. But you allow it. Or somebody didn't fucking speak up on your behalf and they allowed it. But you're sitting here, fuck WWE. Okay, that's your feelings. But once again, don't always think the fucking grass is greener on the other side. Fine, you'll be closer to home. You'll be closer to your family. And yes, family is very important. You're right. Family is important. And family is also, like you said, that's all you, all that matters to you is what they think and what's keeping you out. You're right. You are correct. But believe me, when that fucking well runs dry and any other fucking promotion you go to and you still got one more match in you, you still got that, you know, that payment that you need to make, and you still have that push to prove to everyone that you have accomplished everything in life just one more time. WWE, it's me, Jeff Hardy. Can you let me in? When we come back, we're going to have Around the Square Circle and tons to talk about, guys. What we watch, what we listen to, what we partook in, and much, much more. So, guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We will return. Check you guys out in a second.
Bring the in-ring action home to your tabletop with the number one wrestling card game in the world, Super Show the Game, and live all your wildest wrestling fantasies without ever taking a chair shot. Available on supershowthegame.com. Order today and join a spectacle so grand it can only be called the Super Show.
Steve Rest from SRG Universe and the Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Round the Square Circle. I just keep watching these this footage that's going on in the Ukraine, and I'm totally, no pun intended, blown away by just how the people over there are fighting. Listen, give it, say what you want, heads or tails, of what's going on. You agree, you disagree. You know, I know there's already some people that's on social media. They're like, you know, well, what about this place? Nobody's giving a fuck about this place. How about this area? Nobody's giving a fuck about these people, whatever the case may be. Nobody's saying anything about the Gaza Strip. Nobody's saying anything about what's going on here in our country. Whatever. But just to see the way that these people are fighting back against military. You have their military and their civilians going back and forth and winning against Russian military. Says a lot, man. Says a lot. You, like I said earlier, you don't know God and country until you have to fight like these motherfuckers is doing over there. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. So, Around the Square Circle, ladies and gentlemen, hey, we got what we watch, what we listen to, what we partook in. This upcoming week, I'll be going to Outlaw Wrestling. On March 3rd, this Thursday, we'll be at Outlaw. Main event was going to be Homicide versus Karrion Kross. Well, Killer Kross now. There were others there. I totally drew a blank. I had a lineup in front of me, but you guys will be getting a report from me. No, not this week, because I already have a full dance card this week. Next week, you get a full report from me about what happened at Outlaw. we're going to be going with Brother AJ. Homework Mike will be in the building, and we'll see who else pops up at the brewery. I know we're going to be fucking lit. I already know that's what it's going to be. Shit. I'm already anticipating high levels of intoxication. Also, what we watched, what we listened to, what we partook in. Jim Cornette this week, I was listening to his take on if WWE should unify the title. There's some understanding why it should happen, and then for me, I'm still like, they don't know how to fucking book. They don't know how to tell a story. They lost that. It's different than when it was in the 80s and the 90s. It's not there anymore. And I don't, and I still say the networks, I don't think the networks want that. 83 weeks. Eric Bischoff was discussing how he drew 2 million viewers on a Nitro replay. That's unheard of. AEW can't even draw 2 million viewers on a live show. But, you know, it was a different time back then. You know, less cable channels. Wrestling was basically, there was only one major outlet for it. It wasn't, the internet wasn't as big as it is now. Connecting through other outlets wasn't as big as now. So gone are those days. Oh, sorry. Cornette also discussed the control your narrative possibility. He discussed whether or not will they be able to get a network deal. That's interesting. Wrestling Bios this week on YouTube had a had a feature on Nails. If you guys don't know who Nails is, Nails was a wrestler in the early to mid 90s who was to go head to head with Undertaker. And well, at first he came in to go up against Big Boss Man because apparently he was supposed to be a prisoner from Cobb Con in Georgia in their prison. And he had a history before coming to WWE, but he was also the guy who apparently choked the shit out of Vince McMahon for unsubstantial payment. That was actually a fucking funny story. And finally, MLW. They had a Fatu versus Kruger. I'm going to say that this wasn't my favorite Fatu match. I do like that the big men were getting at it, but no, it wasn't my favorite. And this Kruger guy kind of reminds me of Shockmaster and the way his voice is and all that. But there was a debut, and if you check out my TikTok, you see how excited I was, because if you guys know me and you know this show, I love little people. It was the debut of Micro Man. Yay! I was excited. He's so little. He looks like, if you guys remember back in the 80s, if you got my age as such, or probably a little later on as well, they were these little toys, like they were made of like rubber called Muscle. And they used to just have different characters and shapes. Later on, they brought them back, but it never quite had that same feel like back in the days. And, but I, you know, they can't sell them now because they're a choking hazard, but it's little things. So check out Micro Man. Other than that, was that it? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's get into some wrestling viewing. Going into Raw, ladies and gentlemen. This week was the 15th. That's where I got the 1500 episode thing from. I think I was talking about, when was the, was it the thousandth episode of Raw? I think it was something like that. Maybe. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? So yeah, we were discussing. Yeah, it might have been the thousandth. Sound like fucking Mike Tyson at the thousandth episode of Raw. This was the 1500. We kick it off with Brock Lesnar kicking off Raw, and was immediately interrupted by Paul Heyman, of course. Chance Fancy, you suck. And of course, Lesnar joined in with that. Heyman said that he's a special counsel to the only real heavyweight champ, which is the tribal chief Roman Reigns. He also mentioned that Lesnar is the roadblock on his way to WrestleMania 38 because he has to defend the WWE title at Madison Square Garden on March 5th, and Heyman doesn't think that Brock will retain the title. Heyman then said that Bobby Lashley will be his appointment at MSG, but Lashley might not be cleared, and he will make sure Lesnar faces a worthy superstar. I wish it was Cesaro. Brock then said that he's doing just fine without him and thanked him for telling him about who he's supposed to be. But Lesnar says he knows that Heyman will be on Friday night SmackDown and he'll be there too. We then get a backstage interview with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins where they reveal that they are planning to get involved in the tag team title picture at WrestleMania 38. Owens once again insulted Texas. Stone Cold teaser. Royal Tag Team Champions Alpha Academy defeat the Street Profits. Really good match. I especially like the work that Chad Gable has been putting on. I'm doing it again. I'm fucking leaning over like a moneylender. Okay. Let me get that back up. All right. I'm telling you, my fucking back is still killing me. Like I mentioned, Chad Gable is still killing it out there. I'm happy at this spot. He and Montez Ford were looking really good in this match. The Chad Team Champions get the win after Otis was pinning and Chad Gable was holding Montez Ford's foot from the outside. Backstage, we get Tommaso Ciampa revealing that his tag team partner tonight would be Finn Balor, in which everybody popped. Tommaso Ciampa and Balor defeat the Dirty Dogs. Dirty Dogs! Dirty Dogs! Ooh! You're a dirty, dirty dog! It's an old New Kids on the Block song. On Miz TV, The Miz was about to announce his mystery tag partner. He was teasing that the person will be dashing. And then that's when the Mysterios come out. And after all the hoopla, Ray said Miz, his partner will be, I guess, is already in the back. And then Miz then pitched a WrestleMania tag team match with his partner being YouTuber Logan Paul, who didn't see that one coming, right? Did you really think it was Cody? No. Dominic accepted the challenge, and then Miz and Logan attacked the father and son duo. Rhea Ripley defeats Nikki Ash. Is this still going on? Really? Shit. I didn't know this was still going on. Then we get the United States champ, Damian Priest, in a match with Shelton Benjamin. After the match, in which Damian Priest wins, Priest cuts a promo and said he wants the world champion caliber wrestlers to challenge him for the U.S. title. Finn Balor came out and will face Priest next week on Raw. Okay. That sounds good. I like that. Sign me up for that shit. Next up, we get a segment with the 24/7 champ with Dana Brooke. Hey, we're going back and forth with this shit. Reggie comes out and calls Dana Brooke. Reggie said he feels bad about how he won a 24/7 title. He then called out a referee to lay down in the ring so Dana could pin him. Dana tried to pin him, and he kicked out. Dana tried again, and he kicked out. Reggie said he's kidding and told her to pin it again. This time, Dana kissed Reggie and then pinned him for the win to get the 24/7 championship. Oh, God. After this, R-Truth, Hikaru Tozawa, and others tried to come out to pin Dana, but Reggie for them off, and they escaped. Oh, Jesus. Kill me with this fucking belt. Bianca Belair and the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch had a war of words. Both were talking about main event at WrestleMania. Becky made a mention that the only reason why they were able to main event WrestleMania last year because she did it first. Bianca then replied, "You might have done it first, but I did it better." Then we get a match between Bianca Belair and Doudrop, in which was highly regarded as a great match by all those around. I'm hoping that, you know, one way along the line, Doudrop gets to come up, and yeah, it was for those who aren't into women's wrestling, these two women killed it on Raw. Honestly, it was a really good match. Becky comes out with the win. Bianca comes out with the win. Becky was on commentary and then threw off her headset And this was after Bianca hit the KOD on Doudrop. Hall of Famer Edge comes out, said he smells WrestleMania. He talked about his career at Mania. Talk about when he first fought WrestleMania talent as a talent in 1998. He just went through the whole spiel at WrestleMania 22 with a match with Mick Foley. It's always good to have that Edge center ring spotlight, sitting in a chair, story time moment. I'm always a fan of that. I always enjoy those moments, and him having this time really gives you the essence of not only him as a wrestler, but also what his career is like and how much of an impact he's made, not only with the fan base, but the wrestlers around him. It's crazy that I was talking to Uncle Fred about this, where we watch people's careers from beginning to end. Like I could say that I watched LeBron's career from beginning to end. I watched Kobe's career beginning to end. I watched Joe Montana's career somewhat beginning to somewhat. Emmitt Smith, Jerry Rice. I watched them beginning to end. And when we look at these wrestlers, we can say that we're watching their careers from beginning to end, and it's a hell of a ride to go through. It's life, man. He makes a comment that actually reverberates through everybody, which is, if you face me at WrestleMania, I'll make you live forever. And it's true. It is true. Finally, we get Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens going against RK-Bro. I'm a fan of this rivalry. I'm a fan of this tandem with Rollins and Owens. In 2 weeks on Raw, we'll have Alpha Academy versus RK-Bro versus Rollins and Owens for the Raw Tag Team Champions, because Seth Rollins and Owens get the win on RK-Bro. Not a bad Raw. I could do without the 24/7 title shit, whatever. But it was actually a post elimination chamber that was actually pretty good. Now let's lead up to AEW Dynamite. Opening up AEW Dynamite, we have the Tag Team Battle Royal Extravaganza, which is a fucking clusterfuck all over the place. Okay, I get that you want to open the show with something that's going to pop the crowd. This fucking match was everywhere, and I was never there. All this shit to a pretty much predictable ending, where we pretty much figured that it was going to be Red Dragon to get the win, and they were going to screw over the Young Bucks one way or another, so that we could get later on in the evening a confrontation in which they'll talk to the fucking crowd and to the fan base watching as though that they're equals. But yeah, in the end we get Red Dragon, like I said, with the win. And whatever, man. This whole angle just fucking me over. Like, this whole program is fucking me over when it comes to this Young Buck Red Dragon shit, because I find myself not giving a fuck more and more watching this shit. After the match, we get Hangman Page running into the ring to attack Red Dragon, as the Young Bucks just gay. Go, hey, well, fuck it. No, whatever. Let him do what he had to do. This is when Adam Cole runs into the ring and tries to super kick Page, but Page catches him, tries to hit him up with the, tries to lay him out with the buckshot, but then, yeah. Like I said, who gives a fuck? Who's really caring about this right now? Heyman then tells a story about how Cole came to AEW, thinking that he could take the AEW championship from him at Revolution, but he's going to fall short. And yeah. Next up, we get the MJF promo I want to dissect this for a minute. Just quickly. I just want to go through it. I don't think I'm going to go through the whole thing, but I just want to go through this.
You know, I used to love CM Punk too. And I get that you guys want to boo me. I'm not exactly the easiest person in the world to like, but I would just like you, just give me an opportunity here.
He was not going to go over. It wasn't going to happen. And I'm happy because I don't think that's his goal.
He showed a photograph last week, and he said that for him it was just another Friday. Well, for me it wasn't. Because I know it's really easy to think that I was raised with the silver spoon in my mouth. I know it was really easy to believe that you people understand my upbringing. But the fact of the matter is, at one point in my life, the only reason I got out of bed in the morning was because of professional wrestling. Just like all of you, I love professional wrestling.
Now, did you hear?
I love AEW.
That little flip that happens in his voice.
And yes, you know what?
Genuine. But if it wasn't, that motherfucker is Meryl Streep.
Let me go back a little bit in time. 2007, I'm 11 years old. I got a litany of learning disabilities. I have severe attention deficit disorder. Every single day in school for me was hell. But the one thing I was good at was football. I tried out for the team. I was one of, only two Jewish kids that tried out. We got Jews in the house?
We got Jews in the house? Throw up a yarmulke? That's what we're doing out here?
You know, shockingly,
Mazel tov.
The coach decided to start me as a middle linebacker, and that meant everything to me because for once, I thought I fit in. And then the next day at school, I'm walking the hallway of my school, and I see my teammates walking up to me. And I'm excited because for once in my life, I actually think I'm going to make friends.
I'm actually going to actually sit and listen to this whole thing.
And they look angry.
You will too.
And in their hands, they're holding rolls of quarters. And all of them decided to throw the quarters at me as hard as they physically could. And they said, pick it up, Jew boy. Pick it up.
Now, for those who don't know what that means pretty much saying that Jewish people are greedy and cheap.
And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. But finally, I stopped because I realized today's Friday. And that means tonight I get to meet my hero, CM Punk, at an autograph signing. CM Punk, my hero, the guy I looked up to. CM Punk, the best in the world.
Someone's saying, should he have done this here? I mean, he was in Bridgeport, Connecticut, kind of close to New York.
That day meant everything to me. And when I went even back still, home, I made a still promise for me. To myself that I was going to be just like my hero, CM Punk. I wasn't going to be afraid to speak up for myself. This 5-foot-nothing ADD-riddled Jew boy was going to become the best in the world.
I mean, amazing.
Fast
amazing
forward.
Promo.
December 2013, I've gotten stronger, I've gotten faster, I've got football scholarship offers coming at me left and right, but I don't give a damn because all I want to be is like my hero CM Punk. I want to be a professional wrestler. I'm studying tape. I am watching matches until my eyes bleed. I'm practicing promos in the mirror. I am practicing promos in the mirror until my voice gets hoarse. All because I want to be just like CM Punk.
You know what's crazy? And this is what happens with wrestling, like wrestlers. Listen, some of you get into business because you just want to make money. But then there's those like MJF who genuinely does know the craft and work it.
2014, you leave me when I needed you most, when I believed in you. You left me. You left all of us! That's when I realized if the best in the world couldn't do it, why could some dumb 5-foot-nothing ADD riddled Jew boy? So I went to college like a good boy. I packed my bags, I drove off, and I quit on my dreams. And I buried my happiness deep down. I buried my dreams deep down. Until one day, I'm in my dorm room, I'm scrolling on Instagram, and there's an account called The Wrestling Classic. And there is a photograph of CM Punk shaking hands with Bryan Danielson.
That's a picture that everybody sees from right before he retired.
CM Punk, the same guy who I believed in, the same guy who left me when I needed him most. I was livid. I packed my bags, I got in my car, and I made a promise to myself that day. I made a promise that I was going to become the best in the world in spite of CM Punk. I made a promise that whatever outcasted kid at school who was getting bullied, had me to watch on his TV screen, and I made a promise that I wasn't not going to leave him high and dry, just like you did, Punk, you gutless coward. At Revolution, March 6th, you can choke me with the chain. You can whip me with the chain. You can make me bleed buckets, but I will not quit, because if I quit, then I'd be no better than you. And we all know that's not the case, because my name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and I'm better than you. And you know it.
You see, this is why I appreciate this and his program here with CM Punk, because this is why there's animosity with MJF and CM Punk, because he felt scorned when CM Punk retired and left.
I had five kids. A couple of them had ADD.
It's genius.
No joke, man.
Genius.
I can't believe what I just heard.
Then Punk comes into the ring. There was something here that I was like, I mean, I like the attempt of sincerity. Punk comes in the ring. You know, no mic. He's asking him, is that serious? Like, if he didn't know that he was going to cut that promo in the back.
Is it true?
Is it true?
Is that real?
They just give each other the stare. And it's the look of letting your idol know that the person you looked up to, letting him know, you burned me, and this is why I'm going after you.
I can't believe I'm saying I feel for him, man.
Now I genuinely believe that MJF is going to win this. He's got to. Fantastic promo. There, no arguments for me. Fantastic promo. The kid kills it every time he goes it. And I've never been so impressed with somebody on the microphone since Punk. Honestly, yeah, since Punk. We then get Death Triangle going face-to-face with the House of Black. Not a bad match. I'm always in for anything that has to do with Pac, my guy. And Death Triangle get the win here, but after the match, we get Brody King and Malakai Black attacking Death Triangle. By the way, Penta's entrance was whole, like, you know, over the top, Lucha Underground shit, you know. Even Alex Marvez is all in character and shit. Finally, the lights go out, and who comes in? You see Buddy Matthews, and who would have thought that he wasn't going to align himself with Malakai Black? There was no one in that arena that was sitting there really thinking, he's gonna join up with Death Triangle. Of course not. After that, he attacks Pac and Penta Asucro. I don't know. I'm Spanish. I don't know how to pronounce that shit. I don't know what the fuck that is. I'm going to try it again. Asruco. No. Ascoro. Ascoro. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. What the fuck? I don't know. In my family, I'm known as a Hibaro, meaning that I'm fake Spanish. Any case, he hits Penta with the curb stomp on the chair. But yet, after all that, Penta's still able to crawl over and help Pac. What? Okay. Bad sell job on that. Oof. Oh, wow. So, this leads up to... I just lost my notes here. I know, because everybody was all hyped about... Oh, this is the other promo. I have to play this one, too. Because after you get such a great promo from MJF, then we go down to Jericho and Kingston. And I know everybody was loving this for a tick, but I'll explain my problem with this.
Okay, we're done now. Are we done massaging your ego with that song? Are we done?
You gotta love Eddie, man.
Good. I become. All right, enough. I jock.
How spat?
First off, I don't like you anyway. Why are you in here? What is this?
You need to calm down a bit, Eddie.
I can't calm down. I don't know this.
Listen, I arranged for the security to be here because I want us to talk to each other like men, okay? I don't want us to fight each other like common street thugs, which I know you consider yourself to be. Try it tonight, they're going to take care of it.
Are you calling me a street thug?
Yes.
You don't even know what that means, dog. You're lucky.
This is the first time I really saw Jericho, like, outwitted,
outmiked.
Like, he was out of his element when
Give
it came
me
to Eddie.
Second, because in all honesty, I have no idea why we're doing this. I'm not a sports entertainer, Chris. I'd rather just fight you. You know what? Since you're not going to fight me right here, hey, Tony Khan, hey, do me a favor. Get me Statlander and Willow Nightingale or something. Give me two women wrestling, please. Let's do something here. This is a wrestling company.
I'm okay with that line.
Sports entertainment company. My man, go down the block.
Once again, AEW lives in these guys' heads, especially Eddie for some reason. I don't know why. I think he's still for scorn. But I'm okay with that line. That's a good shot to
throw. Well, like you said, we are just down the road from Stanford, so maybe I will give you a little sports entertainment. Except I guarantee that this sports entertainment will actually be entertaining. Because...
I'm okay with that shot, too.
I'm going to tell you a story, Eddie. A story about Eddie Kingston. When I first heard that you were coming to AEW, Eddie, everybody in the locker room was so excited. Eddie Kingston's coming. And I was thinking to myself, who the hell is Eddie Kingston? I keep an eye on what's going on in the indie scene. I had never heard of you before. As a matter of fact, I thought maybe they were talking about Eddie Edwards. And then I saw you and I realized why I'd never heard of you before. It's because you look like a jobber.
Well, you see, this is once again, you're talking to the fans now.
But then I saw your match against...
You're talking to the fans, not at them.
And I heard your promo, and I realized I might not have heard of you before, but this guy is good. This guy is very good. This guy's got something really special. He's got what it takes to go to the top. And I told you that just a few days later. I even told you it wouldn't be long before you became a huge babyface.
Oh, stop. Stop talking like that.
You. And I was
was right.
And even Eddie goes, I love what Eddie goes, what's a baby face?
What's a baby face?
Exactly. Because he's like, why are you talking like that?
And it was such a feel-good
why
story,
are you talking
Eddie,
to the fans like that?
After 20 years of busting your ass on the indies and getting over and overcoming your physical and mental issues, you finally, after all those years, signed a contract with AEW and you made it to the big time at the age of 38 years old. And everybody was so happy for you. Eddie deserves it. We're excited for Eddie. Everybody
that
is
with me. I'm that much older
I didn't give
Eddie
two shits about your sob story, and I didn't give two shits about you. And I'll tell you the reason why. I realized that you're jealous of Chris Jericho. You didn't make it to the big time until you were 38 years old. But you know that I made it to the big time when I was 22 years old. Worldwide, man. By the time I was 38, I'd already main evented pay-per-views. I had toured the world headlining arenas. I had been a multiple-time world champion, and I'd made millions of dollars. You're jealous of me, Edward.
Jericho likes to talk about himself. He's easy to talk about.
Hold on. The reason why you're jealous is deep down inside, you don't believe you can ever achieve what Chris Jericho has achieved. And deep down inside, you don't think you can ever be at my level. Am I right?
I just thought about it when Eddie said, I jive, reminded me of fucking homicide.
Christopher, what do you want? You talked about all this main event and all this stuff. You want a cookie? You want a cookie for that? Because guess who doesn't care? The only reason why you motivated all these places and done all this stuff was because, let's be honest, I wasn't there. See, I'm a different type of cat, dog. I'm not like you. I don't leech off people like you do. I'm not like the rest of the cornies that lie and talk to the promoters to get other people's legs cut out from under them. No. I tell the promoter to F off if he wants me to do that, because I'm going to do things my way, and I'm going to be me till I die.
You know that reminds me like a battle rapper.
I'm going to look at myself in the mirror. And now you're out here doing this and talking about that. You know what, Chris? I don't want to talk to you, because all you're doing is sucking the blood out of me, and my blood's too tough for you, dog. My heart don't pump Kool-Aid, dog. You know what I mean? You may do it to the young guys
classic
back there
lines
and tell them, hey, kid, you got a bright future. Team up with me. I'd rather do things on my own. And you know what, Chris? You know what, man? I want to fight. How about it? Me and you at the pay-per-view. How about it, Chris? Come on.
This is why Eddie's so good, because Eddie talks like we talk.
I'm going to answer that question, but first I want to ask you a question of my own, Eddie. Have you ever heard of achievement-phobia? Do you know what that means?
No, I'm not. I got a GED. I don't.
All right. It means the fear of success, and that is you to a T. You're terrified to make it to the top. You're terrified to make it to the mountain, the level, the mountain that I live on. Because if you did, you would fall instantly right off the other side, and you know it. Because you consider yourself, you consider your destiny to be one of a failure. You know why? I read all the stories about you online. I know your family's history.
Careful.
I know your family's history. You said it to the world. Your very first hero was your uncle, and he was a failure. You believed in your own father, and he was a failure. And deep down inside, you think you're a failure as well.
I like Jericho backed up.
I've seen guys like you come and go, Eddie, and I can tell you exactly what your problem is. You can't win the big one. You can't win the big one. And when you challenge me for Revolution, let me tell you something, brother. In this company, I am the big one. Me, not Moxley, not Danielson, not Punk, not the heavyweight champion Hangman Page. Chris Jericho is the big one in this company.
The big mama.
The demo god, Le Champion. And if you want to challenge me at
Revolution, man. You got it. Jericho Kingston, May 6th at the pay-per-view. March 6th at the pay-per-view. You got it.
It was like me. I was in November. He's in May.
But like I say, okay, fine. But you can't win the big one and you won't. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this right now. If you do manage to beat me, Chris Jericho, I swear to God, I will look you in the eye, I will shake your hand, and I will tell you that you have my utmost and ultimate respect. Because that'll mean that I helped you get over the one thing that's holding you back, and that's the fear of success. You dig?
Let me give you a warning, okay? We got the match, great. But don't give me the Chris Jericho that did the Mimosa match. Don't give me the Chris Jericho that got pushed off a cage by MJF. Give me the Chris Jericho that was the first world champion in this company. Give me the Chris Jericho that bled buckets in Tennessee. Let me get the Chris Jericho that got respect from one of my heroes, Senru, and war, and wrestled out there. Give me the Chris Jericho that turned WCW upside down. Give me the Chris Jericho that your close friend Levesque hated. Give me that. Because if you don't, I'm going to eat you alive.
Oh, Eddie. Oh, Eddie. He's the one. He saved this promo. Because I really hate this fucking talking, pandering with the fans. Oh, look, we can talk.
That Chris Jericho and so much more, Eddie Kingston. And I'll say it again. I can see it in your eyes right now. You don't believe that you can beat me. You don't believe that you can win the big one. And your opinion of yourself deep down inside is the same opinion that I have of you. You are nothing more than a loser. And you always will be. You can't win the big one, ever. Hit my music.
Once again, Jericho was out-dueled against Eddie Kingston in that promo, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't get a promo with the AHFO, in which they challenged Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Sting to a Tornado Trios match at Revolution. It'll be Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy. What the fuck are we doing here? Why is Quinn hurt? Is this their way of possibly getting rid of Isaiah? Because if he keeps losing and keeps taking the pin, he's gonna get exiled from the faction. This is when you don't know what to do with individuals, this is how you book them. The FTW champion Ricky Starks defeats 10 in a qualifier for the Face of the Revolution match. We then get Jade Cargill and the Bunny in a match, which Jade wins. She's 30-0 now. She just, I throw my hands up in the air. I don't see it. I don't get it. I'm watching a match and it's just flawed up and down. And mind you, Bunny's a pro. She's been doing it for a long time. And she's trying out there. And it's just floundering. It's floundering. There's even a moment where Aubrey, which, by the way, Aubrey, you are a referee. If you are in the match, you do not pause your count. You have to go straight into it. You count the three count. You do not stop the count because the person didn't kick out. You're supposed... Excuse me. Oof. Too much air in the larynx. You are supposed to continue the match. It's continue. And if you count three, you count three. That's a bungling on the individual, not on you. Jade gets the win. They keep promoting this whole, her daughter's in the crowd and all this. And it's like, fam, what are you trying to, what are you trying to put over? They boo her, but yet you're still trying to make it like she's some wholesome, family-orientated woman. And what are you doing? Keith Lee is interviewed in the back. Oh, sorry. This is when Continue. After that, she goes to Who's Next. She's doing a whole Goldberg shit. Might as well rip it off, right? And Ty Conti comes out, and the crowd goes mild, which then leads to a face-off, and then Bunny gets involved, and yada, yada, yada. It ends with Jade Cargill pump-kicking Ty Conti. We didn't get Keith Lee being interviewed in the back, but of course we got to get interrupted by Ricky Starks, who did his Rock impression, which I'm not mad at. It's, I mean, what are you going to do these days, right? And finally, we get Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia. Not a bad match at all. Not a bad match at all. For me, I might not have put this as the main event because this style of match is not that go home pop kind of match. Two technical guys, you know, it's not Owen versus Brett. It's not that kind of match, but still, it had the tempo of two skilled guys. You could see it's the pro versus the newbie, the rookie. And, some may say that it was almost a mirror image of each other. The old looking at the new. Good match, all in all. You know, we're talking about you wanted to see violence. I didn't really see violence, but I just saw two guys have a good match. After the match, 2.0 attacks Bryan Danielson, but Moxie comes out through the crowd. Why? And if he comes out through the crowd, why play his music? You play his music while he's coming through the crowd on a run-in. Like, okay, I get it if he's coming into a match, but he's doing a save. He's doing a run-in. You're going to play his music from the crowd. They face off in the ring after the match clears, and then they will have their match at Revolution at this upcoming weekend. So this show is fucking all over the place, man. I swear to you. MJF says that he has ADHD. This fucking show has ADHD. It's all over the fucking place. Jesus. I realized why I got these muscle spasms. Man, got it. I think it's from looking down on my phone too much. Can you imagine that's where now our debilitation is coming from, looking down on our fucking phones too much? Jesus. Pain. I got fucking lidocaine patches on my back, taking ibuprofens, Tylenol. Doctor says I need a bacchiotomy. Shit. Damn. Leading up to SmackDown, we get the announcement that the Universal Champ Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar will be main eventing night 2 of WrestleMania, and it will be a unification match. Some speculate that once it does happen, it's going to be one title, and it won't be a brand split. It won't be a, it still could be a brand split, but you'll have two champions going back and forth, or just make one of your mid-card belts the important belt and just have, you know, back and forth to it. Whatever. I like what there are some thoughts that when the belt finally gets unified, that it's just going to be one gold belt. It's going to be the WWE Championship, but it's just going to be one gold belt. It's not going to be black. It's not going to be blue. It's going to be one gold belt. Okay, that could work. The men's world titles are being unified, which means it won't be like the Becky Lynch situation after WrestleMania trying to fight where the titles remain separate, and Becky lost one of them in the title defense. Also, WWE is now promoting Reigns versus Lesnar as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. Women's Royal Rumble winner, Ronda Rousey will main event night 1 of WrestleMania, and Rousey has said that she came back just 4 months after giving birth because she wants to be badass like her mother and be an inspiration to her kid. SmackDown Women's Champion came out, which is Charlotte, and told Ronda that she'll make her scream for mercy and make her tap out of WrestleMania and then she could go home and work on her second baby. Sonya Deville then attacked Ronda from behind. Charlotte joins in, beat her out, and then get out of Dodge as Ronda laid out Sonya. Backstage segment has Adam Pearce announcing that Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville will be on for next week's SmackDown. The New Day defeats Los Lotharios. Then we get the Viking Raiders being attacked by the Usos again backstage and demanding theirs after they demand their SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. Xia Li defeats Natalya. This was actually Xia Li's first match on SmackDown. This was her debut match. She's just been doing run-ins, and it was okay. It was a decent showing. She's gotten better from what it was in NXT. Sami Zayn came out and celebrated his Intercontinental Championship win. Sami then issued a challenge for the title. Anyone who's brave to step up. Johnny Knoxville then comes out to a big pop, and Sami told him to get the hell out because he doesn't belong in the WWE. This is when Knoxville then asks what happened to the open challenge, and he then asks if Sami has the balls, and then Sami attacked Knoxville. Sami finished things with two Helluva kicks to Knoxville. We then get Ricochet, who stepped up to Sami Zayn in the backstage segment, and appears then made Sami Zayn versus Ricochet for the IC title official for next week's SmackDown. But that's the way that I'm hoping that's more along the line, because AEW does that, which is, we don't need to see everything tonight. It's okay. Let's get the anticipation set up for next week. That's fine. I'm okay with that. We get Sasha defeating Shotzi! After the match, Naomi announced that she and Sasha Banks are a tag team and now are going to become the first. We become the next women's tag team champions. Team Bad are back together, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Drew McIntyre was scheduled to face Madcap, but Madcap, who was still probably still nursing his injuries, Happy Corbin replaced him and said that Drew will have to deal with him later tonight. When Corbin and McIntyre came face to face in the ring, Corbin said that this is a WrestleMania caliber match, and if Drew really wants it, they could go at it tonight. This is when we get Corbin and Moss, who then attack McIntyre. But even so, McIntyre comes out and he defeats Madcap. So there, he wrestled him. Universal champ Roman Reigns comes out and, making sure that the crowd acknowledge him as the tribal chief, blah, blah, blah. Homan said that Roman will solidify his GOAT status, and this will be the unification match that everybody desperately needs. And he'll do it by defeating the Beast. Brock Lesnar comes out. Crowds chanting Suplex City. Lesnar then, he's so over. I was trying to explain to one of my coworkers about this whole Lesnar thing, and everybody's like, oh, you know, we got Lesnar again. And I go, yeah, but this is legitimately the first time, long time, maybe ever, that Lesnar's in this run as a face. So it's working. The cowboy look, the ponytail, his charisma. It's working. Lesnar then mentioned that the security guards aren't going to do anything to stopping him from kicking the Bloodline's ass. Brock signed the contract and threw it at Roman. Roman didn't like it, and such a Brock is going to be, he's not going to make it to WrestleMania because he'll lose the WWE title Saturday at the Madison Square Garden live event. They're promoting that. They're really pushing that live event shit, huh? They really didn't. Guess who didn't win? Roman said that Brock is confused because that WWE title is his, and yada, yada, yada. Then the security guards surround Brock, but Lesnar basically beat everybody else up to win. To close out the show. So that'll close out Friday Night SmackDown, and finally we will get to AEW Rampage. That the AEW Championship match will be Hangman Page versus Adam Cole for the AEW Championship on the Revolution. We get a dog collar match for CM Punk versus MJF, Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston, Bryan Danielson versus Moxley, Sting, TNT champion Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin versus the AHFO. What a horrible fucking name. Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy. We'll get the face of the Evolution ladder match when it gets a TNT championship match. Not an AEW world championship match. It'll be the TNT title match. Keith Lee versus Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks and, of course, Orange Cassidy. Guess who's going to be the javelin, ladies and gentlemen? And also to be determined. So that's usually going to be the recent signee, or they'll have one more match for it. Then we'll get the AEW Women's Championship match between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Triple threat match, AEW World Championship tag team title match will be against Jurassic Express and Red Dragon versus the winners of the Casino Tag Team Royale, and the TBS championship match will be against Jay Cargill and Ty Conti. So far that's their that's the build up right there, which leads to AEW Rampage. We get Sammy Guevara and Andrade to kick off the night. Decent match. We know we all talked about how Andrade was getting treated in WWE, but are we not seeing any similarities here? Sammy gets the win after the match. Matt Hardy attacks Sammy, but this is when Darby came running into that fucking ring, hard body, ran across the ring and threw himself at Matt Hardy. I mean, and in Spanish we would say coño, like he laid that shit in. After the match, I mean, during that time, there was a, after the suicide, that then Sting took out Cassidy with a Scorpion Death Drop, and then we get Darby hitting the coffin drop. Next, we get a segment with QT Marshall, and he's calling out Hook. Hook comes out. And students go to attack Hook, and Hook does, you know, whatever judo moves that he does, and then, yeah, whatever. I'm so over this shit. And you know, I feel bad for the kid, because the kid could be talented, but just this whole way of putting him over is just, we got to get a target audience, and we know what target audience likes. We need young women, and we need young demo that could feel his vibe, whatever. Wardlow defeats Nick Corrado. And during that time, Sean Spears is fucking annoying as fuck. After the whole spiel, after the match, Wardlow is about to hit Corrado with a powerbomb, but Spears stops it with a chair shot and tells him that you're not over with the Powerbomb Symphony, that it's not over. Stop talking like this. Why? You just sound stupid. Y'all sound dumb talking like that. Ugh. It's not over, pal. It's not over. That means you're educating it's fucking lame. You sound, it's like an old dude trying to sound young. You sound corny. Ugh. Serena Deeb defeats Kayla Sparks in the Professor's 5-Minute Rookie Challenge. I love Serena Deeb. Then we get a contract signing with Britt Baker, DMD, and Thunder Rosa. Thunder's so cute. Oh, shit. Thunder Rosa's so cute. She's adorable. Rosa attacked Baker, but then Jamie hit and Rubble overwhelmed her. Mercedes Martinez came out to help Rosa fight, and this is when Rosa was able to fend him off and pose with the women's title. I'm hoping that this Britt Baker shit is over. She needs to fucking step down for a little bit. And finally, we get Orange Cassidy and Anthony Bowens, and as I mentioned, Orange Cassidy with the win qualifies for the the Face of a Revolution match at Revolution. So that's going to close out not only Around the Square Circle, but it'll also close out this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check us out on all social media outlets. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, wherever you can find us. That's where we're available. Show us love, show us love, show us love. Also, be sure you check us out on all podcasting outlets. Download, stream, subscribe, give a like, give a share. Let everybody know to get their wrestling news here at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Be sure to check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com for all things connected to the RageWorks family. All our podcasts are available there. And check out the news articles, reviews, previews, all things connected to video games, movies, TV shows, comic books, all things connected to pop culture. Get it at RageWorks.net. Before I let you go, this year marks the 1 year. I hate using the word anniversary because anniversary is usually a celebration. But I guess we could say it's a celebration of life. Last year, we lost a good friend to the show, our boy Fat Mike. We lost him unexpectedly last year. Once again, our condolences goes out to the family. And it reminds me of all the things that's going on in this world. You know, you're seeing on the news, you see the war, you see fear, you see fear-mongering, you see hatred. See all these images and symbols of negativity going on. With every breath, at every moment that we have, we must embrace life and must engage in the understanding that many people say life is short. And I always say, no, life is long. Life is probably the one thing that you ever will deal with for the longest period of time. Heartache, pimples, hunger, those are all short-term issues. At the end of the day, life is long. It's very precious. And it's those moments in which that you must take in consideration that it's one of the hardest things that you're going to work on to deal with. And with that life, appreciate that the one that you have, the life that you have, it's your life and it's the only one you got. We're not promised it tomorrow. We're not promised it to later on. Shout out to our boy Fat Mike, who's a supporter and love and a big wrestling fan. And shout out to all you guys out there who continue to listen and be a part of the Turnbuckle Tabloid family. All right, guys, I'm out of here. I'm going to take some more meds. I'm going to see if I can take some muscle relaxers and fucking knock me out for a couple of hours before work. And as always, stay safe. Peace in this world, man. And take a bump, guys. We're out of here. Later.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.